For many patients, the hardest part of radiation therapy isn't the treatment itself. It's the waiting. Waiting for your first appointment, waiting for scans, waiting for results. It can feel like life is on hold, and the silence in those gaps can be deafening. If that sounds familiar, you're not alone. And today, we're going to talk about practical ways to cope with the waiting game, so you can reclaim some peace during those stretches of uncertainty. Welcome to The Healing Beam, a podcast from Under the Beam. I'm Jared Hirschberger, and in this episode, we're diving into one of the most overlooked challenges of radiation therapy, the waiting. Waiting can be emotionally draining, but it's crucial to understand it's a normal and necessary part of the process. The planning, the sophisticated scans, the dose calculations, they take time, and that waiting is actually a good sign. It means your entire care team is meticulously ensuring your treatment plan is as safe, effective, and precise as physically possible. Rushing this would compromise your care. But I get it. That logical understanding rarely makes the wait easier on your emotions. The time between appointments or results can become a breeding ground for anxiety. So, let's break it down. What kinds of waiting moments you might face, and how to handle them. There are generally three types of hard waits in the radiation journey, and each one carries a different psychological burden. Number one is the pre-treatment standoff. This is the wait between when you are told you need radiation and when your simulation or first treatment appointment actually begins. This can be one of the longest and most frustrating periods. You've accepted the diagnosis and the treatment plan, but now you want to start fighting. Except you're stuck in neutral with nowhere to go. The psychological burden here is the feeling of urgency meeting inertia. You feel like the cancer is advancing while you are forced to sit still. This is where your mind can spiral into catastrophizing. You might find yourself checking your portal daily or reviewing paperwork constantly, desperate to start the action phase. Number two is waiting for new scans. Whether it's a PET scan, a follow-up CT, or an MRI, just being in that "what will they find" mindset is stressful. These scans are usually required for treatment planning, staging, or for monitoring how the tumor is responding. How your cancer gets staged determines the best approach for treatment, so these scans are necessary. The psychological burden here is the fear of the unknown outcome. You know a picture is being taken that will define the next phase of your treatment. The waiting period often makes you hyper-aware of every minor ache and pain, convincing you that something new or bad is being missed. Remember, the scanning process is simply gathering data. It's not the final decision. It's just information gathering. The third type of waiting is waiting for post-treatment results, or the scanxiety. This is often the toughest wait of all, particularly the first one after treatment is complete. The word patients use is scanxiety. You've done all the hard work, gone through all the daily appointments, and now you have to wait to see if it worked. The psychological burden here is one of finality and judgment. Your mind races through every possible outcome. This is when patience runs thinnest. It's critical to remember that the team is focused on providing you with clear, accurate information, and they need time to synthesize the new images with all your historical data. Depending on the type of cancer, it may take a few months before new scans will even be meaningful. If you got imaging done before appropriate, residual inflammation could get confused with non-response, and that wouldn't be good. Each of these weights feels different, but they all carry the same weight, uncertainty. So, how can we reclaim control? Let's talk about some strategies for patients. The goal isn't to eliminate the waiting. You simply can't do that. But you can absolutely choose how you fill that space. The key is to redirect your energy from worry, which offers zero control, to productive action, which offers some measure or sense of control. So number one, try to establish worry windows and intentional distraction. When your mind starts racing, it often happens randomly. Instead, schedule a daily worry window, say 15 minutes in the mid-morning. During that time, write down every single fear, question, and worst-case scenario. When the window is closed, consciously tell yourself, "I dealt with that. My next worry session is tomorrow at 10 a.m. This technique allows the anxiety without letting it ruin your whole day. Once the window is closed, engage in intentional, focused distraction. Don't just scroll your phone. Pick up a hobby that demands focus, like puzzles, knitting, or learning a new language. This active engagement pulls your brain's resources away from the worry loop. The second strategy you might try is to create and maintain a routine. Uncertainty loves a vacuum, and waiting can destroy your whole daily routine. So instead, stick to daily habits, even small ones like eating meals at the same time, walking your dog, or getting up early. If you don't have a routine, it's time to create a new one. This signals to your brain that life is not on pause. It provides an anchor of normalcy and stability in a chaotic season of your life. This is foundational to mental well-being during any cancer treatment. Number three, the power of journaling and externalizing fear. Journaling isn't just for writing down events. It's a powerful emotional release. When you write down your fears, you move them from a chaotic internal thought cloud into a structured external form on the page. This simple act reduces their emotional intensity. You can also use this journal to write down any questions that come up so you're prepared for your next appointment. This maximizes the efficiency of your time with the doctor. Number four is engage your support system logistically. Instead of venting anxiety to friends and family, which can feel draining, give them concrete, constructive tasks. Ask a friend to research logistics for transportation or have a family member help you organize your bills. If you're waiting for treatment to start, dedicate an afternoon to stocking your pantry with easy-to-prepare, nutritious meals. Logistical preparation is a high-value distraction that turns nervous energy into actual readiness. Again, the goal isn't to eliminate waiting, because you simply cannot do that. But you can fill the space in ways that calm, not consume you. So now let's talk about what's happening while you wait. While that clock is moving slowly for you, the mission control team we talked about in a previous episode is working intensely on your treatment plan. Waiting doesn't mean nothing is happening. It means complex, multi-layered work is being executed with extreme care. Your radiation oncologist isn't just sitting idle. They are often consulting with other specialists, radiologists, surgeons, or even medical oncologists, to ensure the treatment approach is the best one for your particular case. They review every millimeter of the latest scans, reevaluating the boundaries of the tumor and all the surrounding organs. They are finalizing the prescription, which is the most critical document of your treatment. This cross-disciplinary review is a safeguard that ensures your plan is strategically sound. What about the dosimetrist and physicist? This is where the real-time consuming work happens. The dosimetrist is running multiple optimization programs to calculate the best angles and intensities. often testing dozens of different plans to find the one that delivers the maximum dose to the target while minimizing the dose to healthy tissues nearby. Your physicist then takes that plan and runs the rigorous quality assurance checks that are required for each plan. They perform complex mathematical and physical measurements, sometimes spending hours testing the planned dose delivery on a test phantom before it is ever used on you. Every minute of that wait is a minute of meticulous verification. The delay you experience is the price of high-precision medicine. So while it might feel quiet on your end, a huge amount of focused, complex work is happening to make sure your treatment is exactly what you need. So let's close out this episode. Waiting will always be part of the cancer journey, but it doesn't have to steal your peace. By building routines, choosing intentional distraction, and remembering the incredible work happening behind the scenes, you can face those silent stretches with a little more calm and confidence. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone who's in that waiting season right now. It might be just what they need. And if you have a specific question about the waiting period or treatment preparation, you can submit it to me directly on my website at underthebeam.com. For those of you who want personalized support to transform that nervous energy into actionable preparation, my first-of-its-kind one-on-one coaching program, the Phys Assist, is here to help you navigate those stretches of uncertainty. Thanks for joining me on the Healing Beam. Until next time, remember, the wait is a sign of precision, not a reason for panic. Under the Beam.